We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Montana State Athletics Bobcat Insider Podcast. This is your home for all things Montana State Athletics.
Well, thanks for joining us again here on the Bobcat Insider. Happy to have you with us. I'm your host, Zach Mackey. Our podcast brought to you by the Rocking R Bar each and every week there in downtown Bozeman. Go ahead and subscribe to the Bobcat Insider Podcast and get it directly onto your phone, onto your computer, iPad. You can get it on your Apple Watch, however you like to listen. Subscribe so it goes directly onto those devices each and every week with our great guest that we have each week. This week, Daniel Jones, the head volleyball coach here for Montana State, joins us. It's interesting to kind of get a feel, too, from Coach Jones of where the program's going, where the state of volleyball is with things moved over to the spring, and exactly his personal story, coming from New Zealand, going to the United States, and then over to Europe, and before coming back over to the States and eventually becoming the head coach of a Division I program here for his passion, which is volleyball. That's totally what brought him to the United States and kind of how everything has fallen into place. We'd like to remind you that in the Northwest region, Montana State University is the top producer of Goldwater Scholars, a prestigious national scholarship for math and science. Find out more at montana.edu. Also, every day you can show your Bobcat spirit. Wear blue and gold at home, at work, and at play. Find out where to purchase your Bobcat gear at montana.edu/Bobcat Spirit. You know, it's a weird spot that we sit in right now with no volleyball going on. The fall football season pushed over to the spring right now. You thought that we'd be coming off a Gold Rush victory to open up the season and getting ready for a game at Utah. That's what was scheduled. Again, Utah, one of the top teams in the Pac-12 from a season ago. It was going to be a big matchup for Montana State University. A lot of people were looking forward to. I know it's going to be a good attended game. Lots of fans down there for Montana State. Unfortunately, we'll have to wait, put the pause button on that. And we're hoping, of course, to get things underway in the spring. Also, another interesting tidbit I saw that the Sports Info crew put out on Twitter was that the Sunny Holland end zone opened up just about 9 years ago. That project was finished, as well as the Thayer family video board. A lot of updates that was to Bobcat Stadium 9 years ago. And those of you who will be coming to games in the spring, It's going to look a little bit different. In the fall, it will be totally complete with that new end zone project that's going to get football their own building in the end zone. It's going to be interesting to see how the sound works with that, how things look different. I mean, it's going to be totally different with a building there. I got to think that it's going to hold that sound and make Bobcat Stadium even a little bit louder on that north end, but it'll be interesting when it all gets complete in the fall. So without any further ado, here's the head volleyball coach for Montana State, Coach Daniel Jones. Welcome you back here on the Bobcat Insider Podcast as we're now joined with the head volleyball coach at Montana State, Coach Daniel Jones. Coach, how's it going?
Zach, it's good to hear your voice, my friend. Things are going well, you know, as well as can be expected under the circumstances, I'd say.
How weird is this? I know you've been around the sport of volleyball. You've been a coach here at Montana State for some time now. To have a fall like this without competition, it's got to be a while for you.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It really is. I was just talking with family, with my wife and her parents the other night, and this is the first fall I've ever had in America since I moved here that I haven't been going with seasons. So it's really a unique experience, you know, something that just trying to make the most of the opportunities I do have to be more present in my family's life and also to connect with our student athletes.
Could you, you got, you know, some work in throughout this summer. You were able to get some of the women on campus there early on, get a couple of practices in. Can you kind of talk everyone through what this summer looked like for Montana State Volleyball?
Yeah, you know, the young women on the team are extremely dedicated. They come back in the middle of June and participate in voluntary or player-run practices throughout the month of June and July. So the coaches are not in the gym with them at that point. You know, and they're just running themselves through the paces to stay connected as a team and try and make as little progress as much progress, I should say, as they can under those circumstances. And so, you know, we had our summer camps canceled probably mid-June. I think they were canceled. So that was usually a huge chunk of our summer that we spend doing summer camps. You know, we have about 10 days on campus with camps, but typically our coaches and athletes will get out in the community and do some what we describe as satellite camps throughout the month of July. And to not have the opportunity to do those due to NCAA regulations was, you know, I would say it was on different levels. It was unsettling because it was a break in the routine that we're accustomed to. And also disappointing because we love to get those opportunities to get out and connect with our fans and connect with the volleyball community in Montana and further afield. So that was kind of the summer. And then, you know, we hit the ground running there in August with full expectation that we're going to play. And, you know, a week into practice, you know, the Big Sky came out and announced that they were going to postpone all, you know, fall sports along with football. And, you know, football was announced shortly thereafter, I guess. But as far as the Olympic sports, as they're described, go, we were postponed. So we had 1 week of full practice, and then we kind of took a step back, and we've been doing limited practices since then.
Coach, you know, you talked about you got a weekend, you were able to get some practices in. There was talk, too, I know, you know, that football and some of those other sports that have more of the contact, maybe there's less contact with other teams with volleyball that you could maybe still get through the fall season. How difficult was that whenever you get the call and, you know, had to tell the team that things were going to have to shut down for the fall?
Yeah, you know, it was challenging. I got to tip my hat to Leon Costello, athletic director, because he was right there in front of the team. He wanted to be the one delivering the news because he knew that ultimately he was the one associated with the decision-making in that. So I just can't express enough gratitude to Leon and Cammy and their leadership throughout this challenging time. But in terms of like the team and what we faced in that moment, to be honest, the national landscape, if you pay any attention, as we are, you know, you have to do the national landscape, it was no surprise. You know, we were hoping that we could be one of the last conferences going. I'm on a national board for the American Volleyball Coaches Association. I represent the Big Sky on that board. And we were having weekly conversation, and the goal was to have at least 50% of conferences or institutions, I should say, in the country participating. And if there was 50% or more at a certain date, I think it was August 21st from recollection, then they were going to continue with the NCAA championship. And so we were tracking that 50%, and we felt like if there was 50% or more, we were going to participate. And right around the time the Big Sky Conference made their announcement, the national landscape indicated that we were going to be below 50%. There was not going to be a national championship, at which point it made a lot of sense to postpone. And we'd had those kind of ongoing conversations with the team. You know, we're all tracking that 50% with a great deal of interest. But so it was definitely disappointing, but at the same time, completely unsurprising.
Like you said, Coach, you're still able to get people in, able to work a little bit here throughout the fall. I know there's guidelines you've got to follow and everything, but what does the fall look like for your team right now with obviously school, those stipulations, those guidelines? What will that look like for everyone on the team?
Yeah, you know, so basically what's happened for us now is our spring season and fall season have been flipped. And so we're basically in our deep training block, which we would do in the spring traditionally, we're doing it in the fall. And to be honest, I think it's hugely advantageous. You know, we're able to lay the groundwork of skill acquisition and skill development now prior to playing in the spring, rather than the other way around where you play and then you're trying to change skills, you know, skill acquisition and development. And so, you know, we're in what we call our limited hours block. We're allowed to have 8 hours of contact during the week with our team. Typically, we're in a 20-hour block if we're in season. So we've got slightly less than half of our typical hours. You know, we're training 4 hours a week in the gym with volleyball-related activity and 4 hours a week in the weight room trying to get stronger and faster and all the different things that the weight room does for us and help us be healthy. You know, and you reflect back on the fact that we lost a lot of our spring when school shut down at spring break. There was a huge degree of concern about the readiness of the athletes to jump into a full fall season. And so with us going into the training load that we have now, it's actually going to be a really nice progression to give our athletes to be the strongest, healthiest, most prepared for a season that possibly we ever will be. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that all plays out.
Is there any talk now? I know we're still early on, and there's still lots of things to figure out, but what exactly a spring season could look like for the sport of volleyball?
Yeah, we're expecting announcements from the NCAA in the next week or two about when the national championship will be held and the format of that. And once we have that date, you kind of plug in the season working back from there. So I'm anticipating a late April, early May national championship, you know, and then there's decisions to be made. I don't know if it's at the Big Sky Conference level or the NCAA level about how long our regular season will be, what the qualification process would be for the national championships. You know, I think there's been announcements for FCS football already about reducing the field of qualifiers for the national championship. For FCS football, so we're anticipating a reduction in the field as well for volleyball from 64 teams. I'm imagining it will drop to somewhere around 48 or maybe 32 at the smallest and anywhere in between. So, you know, once that happens, season will kind of be stacked up behind the national championship and we'll get a better idea of, you know, when our start date will be in the new year.
Yeah, Coach, as we wonder about, you know, the future, what that's all going to look like, we did find out, too, that a couple of weeks back, your volleyball crew was named one of America Volleyball Coaches Association team academic winners last season with a team GPA of 3.48. I know it's something you and your staff stress and try to continue, obviously, with Leon stressing as well, those student athletes to be able to get those grades up too. And your team not only competed at a high level, but had a really great year in the classroom.
Yeah, you know, I can't speak highly enough of the young women in the program and, you know, the dedication they have to their studies. I mean, some of the degrees we're pursuing, you know, biological chemical engineering and, you know, exercise science and some of these more very challenging and difficult programs. And the girls step up and just show their dedication, not only to their sport, but to their studies, because I mean, they're champions in life and that's what we're trying to produce here at Montana State. it's not just about the volleyball. It's about creating a well-rounded, balanced human, you know, and we stress that every day. And part of that is taking care of your responsibilities everywhere, not just on the court. So I'm really proud of them being able to achieve that. And, you know, for me, it's the second year in a row we've been able to do that. And I think that's just a reflection again of their willingness and dedication to their craft.
You know, Coach, it's interesting to see almost all the athletics around Montana State. You look at football, it's kind of been a buildup over the course of the last couple of years to get to the quarterfinal round last year. Women's basketball going ahead and, you know, continuing to build upon that. And it seems like it's that same type of mentality around the volleyball program. It's been a buildup. And last year you had one of the best years in Montana State volleyball history. Have you kind of seen and kind of felt, and as you've taken over this program, kind of work towards that buildup of continuing, obviously, of building on each year, but building to what you've got now?
Oh, 100%. I mean, it's been the goal. I wrote down a 5-year plan, you know, when I first took over the program, and we're heading into year 4 of that. And, you know, winning a Big Sky championship and competing in the NCAA tournament is right there in terms of what we're able to achieve right now with the talent we have in the gym and the culture we've created. But it's also, it's right there in terms of the plan. So, you know, this is a department as a whole that's breeding champions. You know, and once, you know, you get that momentum as a department, the feeling in the building changes, because what you have is a group of student athletes who are starting to compete amongst each other. It's not just about, hey, can we compete at the Big Sky level? It's hey, we want to be the best team in the Brick Breeden Fieldhouse. We want to be the best team at Montana State. And that, you know, excellence breeds excellence in that regard. And it's just, it's a lot of fun to be a part of. And Montana State is an institution. It's all about winning. You know, you look at the academic side, you look at the athletic side, and everyone's on the course of winning, you know, at the moment. So we're winning a lot of battles, and we want to do our part in that and keep building it, for sure.
Coach, we're all going to have to wait a little bit to see exactly what this team's got under the hood. I know you've talked about it a couple of times, really excited about what you've got coming up. Can you give us a preview a little bit as you've seen everybody in the gym here over the summer into the fall here now as to what we can expect out of Montana State women's volleyball with this year's squad?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's we've got a couple of young women in the gym right now who a lot of people won't have seen. I mean, Jordan Klein is – we're calling her the menace from Ennis because she's over the hill there. She's from over the hill there at Ennis, Montana. And we redshirted her true freshman year last year. And she's just going from strength to strength. I mean, she's doing things in our gym that, you know, I mean, I've been at some big time programs at the University of Utah, and Cole's been at Nebraska, and we both look at each other and we had this conversation just the other day. She hit a ball and bounced it right in the 10-foot line. And we're like, holy heck, I haven't seen that possibly ever at any other gym I've been in. So she's a pretty special athlete who I think is going to get out and do some pretty good damage in the Big Sky. And so we're excited about her. And, you know, we've got a lot of returners as well. Hannah Scott, Kelsey White, Kira Thompson, Emma Pence. You know, we graduated two huge pieces in Alyssa Rizzo at Libero, who's, you know, the all-time great libero at Montana State, and Evie Wilson, who was a first-team conference selection. And so we lost some big pieces, but at the same time, we feel like we're developing behind those pieces really nicely. And I tell you what, Montana State volleyball, Bobcat volleyball, is going to be well worth the price of admission in years to come. You know, and I know that the passion for Montana kids is definitely in the community, and we've got some really good ones on the team right now, so it's going to be a lot of fun.
Coach, you added some pieces throughout the offseason. One of those as well was assistant coach Carly Thomas. I know you and Cole were running crazy last year getting it all done by yourselves, but this time adding in another assistant's got to take some of that load off.
Oh, it's been enormous. I mean, I think when you're in the middle of something like Cole and I did last year, you just kind of get your head down and you grind it out. You know, you do what you have to do. And we look back on that, and there was a huge amount of enjoyment and satisfaction for Cole and I in that experience. but also we recognize that there's no doubt things fell through the cracks, you know, and Carly's been able to come in and fill those cracks. And I mean, talk about an elite mindset. You know, this is a young woman who herself, who is a first team All-American, you know, having played at Missouri State, she, you know, she went to the NCAA tournament on more than one occasion at Missouri State. She's been in the USA gym and played with current Olympians. I mean, this is a person who's at the peak of her craft and is coming in and sharing that knowledge and her skill development and the way she's training our setters is just phenomenal. So, yeah, I can't speak highly enough of her. I mean, she's not only is she a great coach, she's a better woman and a great role model for the young women in the program. So, you know, it's one of those things, right? Whenever you invite someone to be a part of what you're doing and what we're doing is special, you want to get the right person, not just any person. And I am just thrilled that Cole and I took the time to, you know, go through last season and grind it out ourselves to get the right person, because I know Carly was not available when we first started looking in August last year, and really, really just couldn't be happier with the decision to wait and get the right person.
Coach, you took over the head coaching duties back in 2017. You've had a couple of seasons under your belt. Now you were an assistant coach, obviously, at Montana State. Before that, can you give a lot of the people already know, but for some of the people, a little bit of your background? It's quite interesting, you know, coming overseas, like you talked about, coming here to the United States with that volleyball background, just kind of an overall of your synopsis of ending up here at Montana State.
Yeah. So I guess the cereal box rundown, as I call it, is, you know, I grew up in New Zealand and coached volleyball at the high school level in New Zealand. That's about as high as you can go in terms of paid coaching positions in New Zealand. After high school, it's club volleyball and it's even the national team. Those positions are voluntary positions in New Zealand. There's not a lot of money in the sport of volleyball, but there's a lot of passion. It's actually the biggest high school participation sport in New Zealand is volleyball. So there's a huge amount of passion and a huge amount of interest in the game. It's just after high school, there's no pathways. And I was fortunate enough to win a couple of national championships at the high school in New Zealand, at the high school level, and really just left New Zealand with the original goal. My original goal was I bought an around the world ticket. And so I had 7 stops around the world if I went one direction. So I was going from west to east, and I went from New Zealand to the States, States to Europe. And my plan was to go from Europe to Asia. Long story short, but I ran out of money in Europe, and the purpose of this journey was to go to these volleyball hotbeds and learn and grow as a coach and develop my craft. And so I spent 3 months in the States, learning, being in some excellent gyms, being able to work some summer camps and just developing my craft there. I went to Europe and pursued some connections I had there. But it was all voluntary. You know, I wasn't able to earn money throughout the time, and ran out of money in Europe and ended up living in London and coaching and teaching in London for three years. I was going to say several semesters, but 3 years. And each summer I would come back to the States and do summer camps and just, again, continue to grow my craft and learn more about the game. And then an opportunity came up in 2010 through some connections I'd made that University of Utah was looking for a technical coordinator, and jumped on that chance. And my first job, I think, paid around $3,000. So I had a $3,000 salary for a year and kind of slept on people's couches. And again, it was just that desire to grow and learn and be a part of the game. And then as it progressed, Utah joined the Pac-12, and that turned into a full-time position for me there, and went from there to coaching at Utah Valley for a season. And then coming up to here in 2015 was the first year I had up here with Montana State, and just had an awesome ride with Beth Lanier at Utah. Went to the NCAA tournament, took them back to the NCAA tournament for the first time in 7 years when we made the tournament in 2013, played Penn State at Penn State. And just an incredible experience for me and my growth and development as a coach and as a man. And in that time, I've managed to get married. I married a local girl. When I say local, I mean American. And we've since had 3 beautiful children, and we've got a 4th one coming in February. So I think the big guy upstairs is laughing at us because we thought we had timed our fourth child to be out of season. But of course, season's been flipped. So now we're going to be having our fourth child in season. And I think there's a bit of sense of humor upstairs from that one. But no, just in terms of my journey, it's all about growth and development and learning. And, you know, I tell our athletes this all the time, but, you know, I'm a true believer that we grow the most when we're at the edge of our abilities and outside of our comfort zone. And for me, that's something I've lived. You know, I've put myself at the edge of my abilities and outside out of my comfort zone by traveling the world, by pursuing this passion for volleyball. And my hope and dream is that I'm able to pass that on to these young women as a life skill, not just as a volleyball skill, but as a life skill that they can recognize they can be, you know, masters of their craft in whatever they choose to do, if they're willing to push themselves to the end of their ability and outside of their comfort zone. So that's, I guess, that, like I said, the cereal box rundown of my journey.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, Coach, going over to just having that ticket wherever you're going to go. You don't know where you're going to end up. That takes some guts, like you said.
Yeah, you know, it was crazy because, you know, you talk about money. When I left New Zealand, I was at the highest level I could be at as a regular teacher before I started taking on administrative roles. And so I was earning $75,000-$80,000 a year as a, you know, 26, 27-year-old guy and living a very good life. And I gave that up to get my first job over here for $3,000, you know. And it was like, no, this is what I want to do. That's how passionate I am about this. And, you know, and now I'm just feel so blessed to be here at Montana State, you know, where I can provide for my family and still do what I love.
Coach, Schroyer Gym has turned into one of the better places to watch a volleyball game at the Big Sky Conference. I know, you know, a lot of times last season it was rocking inside there. How special is that whenever you got a place like that? Montana State has great support throughout the community when it comes to the sport of volleyball, and that it just makes it different than other places. I know you guys talk about that you play in the Big Sky.
Yeah, look, Schroyer Gym is second to none in the Big Sky, and I would put it on any, I would put it up against any regional facility in the country. Like anything in the Pacific Northwest, I would go head to head with a packed Schroyer Gym for atmosphere over anything else. Bobcat fans are unbelievable, and when we pack that place out, it's there's no place like it. You know, we play in front of, you know, I think our average fan attendance was 1200 last year, and Schroyer holds 1500. So, you know, we sold out twice last year, and my goal is to get it to the point where we have the passionate fan base. We have them there every night, 1500 every night. And I've told Leon, if we sell out for a couple of years in a row, I'll be knocking on his door to move into the field house to get 3,000 fans in there, to get 5,000 fans in there, because I believe that the Bobcat Nation gets behind a winning team, and what we're putting on the floor and what we're doing on and off the court, I have no doubt that it's the right product that Bobcat Nation already gets behind, but will get behind it even to a greater degree as we continue to move forward. So, yeah, Schroyer, I mean, it's so weird being in there right now that, you know, we can't have, it feels just odd that we're in the fall and there's no fans. And, you know, we had a scrimmage on Thursday last week and put the jerseys on the team for the first time and just let them have an inter-squad scrimmage. And it was awesome. The atmosphere was incredible just with our team in there. But I tell you what, it was missing the fans. There's no doubt about it.
Well, Coach, we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to be able to see this team in full action till the spring. Everything moved back a little bit. Like we talked about, but appreciate your time. I know you guys are hard at work here throughout the fall, and we look forward to the spring to see Montana State Volleyball back at it.
Yeah, appreciate it, Zach. And, you know, I think if I can say anything, I know everybody's kind of bearing their own burdens at the moment. I just encourage Bobcat Nation, keep your chin up, because we're doing everything we can in here inside the building, and I know you can't see it right now, but we're doing everything we can to make you guys proud. And we can't wait to share what we're doing with you once the opportunity arises again.
Well, thanks so much, Coach.
Appreciate it, Zach. Take care.
It's interesting. All the coaches we talk to each week kind of talk about how different it is, their life in the fall without their sport going full go, without different things that typically take them away maybe from their family in the fall. It's just a totally different concept for those families, for those coaches, for those student athletes, and everyone's trying to get through it here together. We'll be joined again next week on with a great guest on Thursday. You can join us. Go ahead and subscribe. That's going to do it, though, for another edition of the Bobcat Insider Podcast brought to you by the Rocking R Bar. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. I'm Zach Backe saying so long. Until next time.
You've been listening to the Bobcat Insider. Be sure to stay up to date with all things Montana State Athletics by visiting msubobcats.com and by following the Cats on social media on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram using the handle MSUBobcats. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Bobcats Sports Network.